Hey, everybody, welcome back to part two of episode 19 at Snake and Jake's with Dave Clemens and friends. We're about to get into some old school stories.
No. I have paid employees.
You pay them to be your friends.
I pay them to be my friends.
All right, folks, we're back. It's a goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans. We're at Snake and Jake's, as Joel said in the intro. And the stories are flying hot and fast and furious. The drinks are flying as well. And we're sitting in Snake and Jake's right now. And we're just talking
there?
About somebody named OJ at the bar.
Yeah, we should real quick introduce
that. I'm sorry, yes, we have another guest with us right now. We have Marcus joining us here as well.
He's
Marcus,
not
did you work here at Snake and Jake's?
For like a day.
For like one day.
I didn't fire you, did I?
No.
You fired yourself?
There was no need for me to be
you
here.
You quit? No. How could you?
Marcus is the Oak Street and Maple Leaf fan.
Marcus is of Maple Leaf and Oak Street fame. Was that correct, I guess?
Oh, yes. King of Oak Street in, what was that, 1999, 2000? And then I've been living next door to this place for, 10 years now?
Heaven,
yes. Heaven? That's what some people call it.
I remember when I was an earnest person. I thought I was like a writer. And no, I wasn't, but I thought I was like an earnest
Who told
writer.
You that?
My own, like, id.
Your girlfriend?
No, my id.
The id.
And Griper and Marcus would come home from Snakes, like, at 7 or 8 in the morning. And I would wake up all, like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And, like, they would just, like, regale me with stories. And I would sit there and, like,
We don't
tea.
Remember this version of Joel.
No.
Bright-eyed.
That version,
yeah,
like,
I'm confused.
That version was about
Marcus. Do you remember that?
Yeah, who is that? Who is this girl?
That was about 4 months.
Joel Jackson.
Who are you trying to bullshit?
I'm just saying
You're
there was
to get a job. Somewhere?
There was a time. Yes, I am, and there was a time.
Let's switch to Naked Night.
Oh boy, let's.
How'd that happen, man? Dave, did you have
some
any
drinks are being spilled?
Right was that a mic or a beer?
The Greyhounds are
you know,
still here.
You know, it just makes it more foamy. No.
Dave,
and better.
Did you have anything to do with Naked Night? You,
I didn't.
It was Jose,
I didn't
it?
Until this motherfucker. Griper. Look, you know what I said? Mm-hmm. When I hit age 40, I said, nobody
wants to
really
see
wants to see me naked.
Yeah.
Not even my girlfriend. No.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a.
So he convinced me.
You know what? It wasn't the night. You know, speaking of kings of the crew of Oak.
Yes.
You were in the presence of royalty.
Oh.
Both you guys?
Yeah.
That's right. We were both kings. That's right.
Yeah.
I was the 10th king.
I was 14.
Yeah. Well, I'm fucked. Wait, when you were the king, you were 14 or.
I was number 14.
Robustus the 14th. That's a little young.
I don't know. Well,
I was Robustus the 14th. I was Robustus the 10th.
There you go.
Got your ass beat. Anyway.
For a small years.
So, at any rate, I show up here. I was so drunk before I led the parade that somebody said, Jeff Beninato said, Dave, take this.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me just a little sliver of LSD, which worked perfectly.
Now you're awake.
So I led the parade, and I got here, and Griper was like, Dave, you're doing Naked Night. And I'm not.
There's very, look, I'm shameless. I have very few
you
guilty.
You were behind
guilty.
The bar with no pants on.
Well, it may.
Yeah. And you're 6'5".
Well,
and it wasn't even Naked Night.
It was. Wouldn't you say, can you stir my drink? No.
No.
We're
strong.
No, thanks. No. Don't need that one.
Yeah.
I'll take a can of beer, please.
I'll take a Schlitz. No.
Yeah, that's actually one of the complaints.
So you made me get naked. I remember I hid over there in a corner.
And I felt like the worst person in the entire world. And I just looked at you after like 30 seconds and seeing you being so miserable.
And
you were
saw
just
the giant 12-incher hang. No. Motherfucker, get dressed.
That's the thing about Naked Night. All the wrong people were getting naked. That's really the big thing.
Well, no, what it would be would be like one hot broad would take her top off, right? And then next thing you know, there'd be like six dudes completely naked with
Joel,
like
Joel, Mark.
Two of them were Fatty Rick.
Two of them were Fatty Rick.
Joel, you didn't do it?
No.
You didn't do Naked Night?
I checked for free anyway.
Oh.
I never got naked in here.
I did, but you're the one that made
to this day I feel horrible about it because you were so uncomfortable. You were so high. He was so high, and he was just standing in the corner, just naked. And I was like, Dave, please put your clothes back on.
I got naked when I was 17 on LSD, and I got arrested and spent the night in jail. So been there, done that.
No. Oh, fair enough. Look, we used to ride around town in the love truck, in the pickup truck. Bug ass nude.
Danny Weiner's love truck?
No, Todd Kivikos.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah, man, like this old beat up ass fucking. That's when we took the Jesus statue and we would have it in the back and we'd roll it. Well, you know, he didn't have arms. Is that like, you know, I mean, he was basically just stripped down, you know? But
tonight. No.
Yeah, no. That's a resounding no around
that
the table.
That one died quick.
Exactly.
Maybe Juan will bring it back. Who knows?
Let's see. There's 10.
Maybe people can strip to
how
take care
women,
of business.
How many beautiful women are in the bar now? One behind the bar working here.
That's about it.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, but just
don't
dudes.
Tell the podcast.
I used to come to work at 2 in the morning, 2 a.m., right? And I'd come in and I'd be all like groggy. And I would literally have to wade through naked frat boys. Like just, and naked people smell bad and they don't tip.
Ooh.
Of course, yeah, they got no pockets.
They got no pockets.
They got deep pockets.
You don't want the men being enthusiastic about that night.
No, you really don't.
No.
That's where it all goes awry.
Yeah. What triggered it was one hot broad taking her top off.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it.
All right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And well, let me tell you.
I thought you were like, you totally embraced it. You like encouraged it.
I did until I didn't. Yeah, I straight up had a flip. Like literally one night I was like, I'm so sick of fucking naked people. It used to be fun and it's not cool because they honestly do smell terrible.
You've got Fatty Rick sitting right there, and the sun, you know, when the sun comes through that one ray right there, like that one little sliver of sunlight, and it's hitting Fatty Rick's ass, you're just like, you know what, I think I should go home right now.
Who started, as long as we're on the subject, was it Tony and Mike?
I think it was Jose.
I thought it was Tony.
He was a major
advocate of it.
It was a Wednesday night guy. It wasn't.
I think it's
the way I understood the story was Jose had some underage girls in here and they wanted to drink.
No.
So Jose is like, take off your clothes.
Here.
And they were like, okay, and that's how it was born.
It was definitely Jose.
It's early.
Right.
All the San Francisco dudes like loved it. They like hung around here for, you know, they just love getting naked, man. And I was just like, you know what, man? Snake and Jake's 2 where we lived, that's where you get naked. Like at the house. You know what I'm saying? When you actually do something with your junk, like you do something with it.
Speaking of San Francisco.
Yeah, what you got on your list there?
What about Rick Farman?
I got a punch list. Superfly Productions.
Rick Farman, Superfly Productions, talking about San Francisco.
Exactly. No, we want to talk about that. Superfly, Rick Farman was the Sunday night bartender after B. Singer, right?
He started out, I think, like as a bar back.
No, he never bartended. He was a bar back.
No, he was a Sunday night bartender.
I was Sunday night.
Yeah, when you passed out.
No, the
drunk.
Early shift.
No.
No, early
well,
shift.
Fair enough.
Early shift, like 6 to whatever. Whenever Goat was cooking and then Barbecue Dave was cooking.
The tequila ribs, right.
The tequila ribs. And that chimney over there.
The chimney, right. I remember until the smoke didn't actually go up the chimney. It came back into the bar.
And it was nothing but asbestos.
Oh! I like the flavor, but I'm kind of dizzy. I need to
What is that growth on my neck?
Oh. I need to lay down. Oh, there's naked people there. Never mind.
All right. So, yeah. So, Superfly Productions, which for viewers don't know, was basically, listeners, excuse me, is basically the one of the major people that run Bonnaroo, as well as several other festivals in the country, mega festivals. And they
started right next door.
Yep. And they started next door because of Dave Clemens being kind to them. Yeah,
they shared an office with me.
Yep.
The whole point being, like, Dave Clemens was this patriarchal figure. Sorry to, like, make you uncomfortable on the spot.
Patriarchal. No.
You were a patriarchal figure. No, seriously, man. We all, like, we all shit-landed our asses on Oak Street.
What did I do deserve this, anyway?
I don't know, bro. Like,
what is shit-landing?
Shit-landing.
Like, I came in on a meteor into this bullshit.
I don't know, but
saying?
I like it.
And, like, you helped me get, well... You got me this job and helped me with Rick, which got me my CAC. Look,
I know is I kept this bar open and I had like the best people come through here and go create all this other incredible stuff.
Through your generosity of spirit, you were a conduit of success for the people who passed through here.
Yes.
And can I say, did right by you because of your generous spirit. So Rick Farman did a great job here. B. Singer
did a good job here.
Great job here.
He did a good job here.
Everyone.
Everybody.
Man. Everyone tried really hard and wanted
except
to be
for Andre.
Best. No. They wanted to be their even Andre.
No, I love Andre. Andre.
They wanted to be their best selves working for this man right here, Dave Clemens. It's the truth. And that spread to Bonnaroo Music Festival.
Yes, it did.
Outside Lands Music Festival. Like, it's... It really did.
It
Look,
did.
Man,
yeah.
You know there's a reason there's Snake and Jake's Christmas Barn at Bonnaroo.
That's right, because you know what? Rick called me up and said, hey, Dave, we got a barn here. Would you mind if we named it Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Barn? And because I trust and love Rick Farman so much,
great people.
I said, do it. And, man, when I told people, everybody's like, well, are they paying you for the name? I was like, I'm not fucking charging Rick Farman for you. I'm flattered that he asked.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I got grief from all kinds of people. Like, Dave, you got to charge him. They're going to use your name.
Rick
I'm like,
your boy at the back of the
they house. Don't think that far. They go, right. Like, what are you getting out of this? I'm like, I'm getting these people that think enough of Snake and Jake's and me that they want to name this thing at this incredible festival after this experience they had.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's the key to my lack or success or whatever is that I tend to trust people. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Sometimes it's right.
Sometimes it doesn't, like this podcast. This motherfucker.
No. Podcast notwithstanding.
No, but I love Rick Farman. And I mean, we shared an office, and the funny thing is when they were booking Superfly stuff, they would go like, I'd hear them in the background like talking about, should we book like Busta Rhymes and this shit? And they're like, the way they would know whether to book somebody, they'd go, hey, Dave, have you ever heard of Busta Rhymes? And I go, oh, yeah, man, he's great. They go, book him. Dave fucking heard of him? That motherfucker's huge, you know? But I would hear Rick, like, negotiating with, like, these hard-ass business execs, like, booking agents.
At like, the age of, like, 27
like
20. To whatever it was.
And then
yeah.
They would, like, a week later, they'd be calling him up asking for advice. You know, I was like, Rick.
Well, they were next door.
No.
Moved.
Talking about other bands that were calling.
Right.
That they were negotiating with.
Gotcha.
And then, like.
He'd bend them over the barrel.
He'd fucking.
And they would
they
say,
would
like.
They would call him a week
hey,
later.
Hey, how'd you do that to me?
Right. Like, what happened?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Because they were sharp, smart, but they knew what they were doing.
They knew what they're doing, and they're some of the best people in the whole world.
Love
Carrie Black.
Them. Barely hit. We're going to have a little
toast. Oh, a little cheers to those guys.
Cheers, Superfly. Rick, Jonathan Mayers, Carrie Black. Rich Goodson.
Rich Goodson.
Right.
All of them.
And look, man, when Griper and I
first moved to Broadway Street before we met Dave Clemens over here at Snake and Jakes, before Snake and Jakes was Snake and Jakes. Do you remember? Jonathan Mayers had the talent buying money from a fraternity on Broadway.
Oh, with George Porter.
And he would do George Porter, and he would do second line bands on Sundays up and down Broadway. Who is this like kid at the shitty? Because we lived like right on Fraternity Row.
What was their fraternity?
Epsilon Figma. I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
Figma?
It was a frat house. It was right next to our house where you and I lived.
And you and I eventually looted the place.
We did what?
We grabbed all their furniture.
Oh yeah, we did some shit. We did some shit. And then B. Singer was living in a fraternity, and they like. They took the, remember the billiards balls, and they threw them into the wall?
Yep.
I think we got some of their, like, fraternity leftover sofas here.
Yeah, we might have.
I'm not sure. I think this one we got from a clean source.
Well, they basically.
Everywhere you want to get up off that sofa.
I got to tell one fraternity story, totally unrelated to Snake and Jake. Have you ever heard of Dash Rip Rock?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Great fucking band. I love Bill Davis, and we had a band together, but. They used to play a lot of frat gigs, and they would get paid pretty good money to play. But one of their guys figured out, their road manager figured out, that if they went down a block to the Boot and called the police and said, we're in a neighbor, and there's a loud band playing, that the cops would come shut down the fucking show.
And they could leave. And
they could leave. They could get paid, and they go drive. So they like finish at 9 o'clock. Oh man, we're sorry, you know, we gotta leave. You know, get paid. And I'm like, Bill Davis, you're a fucking genius. Why did I think of that?
Self sabotage towards profit. That's fucking awesome.
Superfly. You can learn some lessons.
So look,
yeah, even they didn't think of
we
that.
We have a listener. We have a listener question. B. Singer.
Uh-oh.
Just texted me. Bartholomew Singer.
Uh-huh.
Who was the original, the original Sunday Night Bartender at Snake and Jakes.
Yes, he was.
Ask
Dave
about...
The original millennial.
The original millennial. Thank you, Griper. I hope he's not listening, because it's on you, buddy. He asks, three sides of an elephant?
Three sides...
of an elephant. That's for one of you guys.
Three sides of an elephant.
He said, talk about three sides of an elephant. Do you guys know what that means?
No
idea.
That's some typical
B
Singer
no
bullshit.
That's some typical shit.
I have no idea.
All right, B Singer, fuck off, man.
Text him and ask him what that bullshit means.
Okay. I think he's fucking with us.
He might be. Look, man, I
no,
want to...
You know what? There's probably some deeper... There's something I completely forgot or
I'm
something.
I'm going to text him right now. But I wanted to... Look, this is going to... I'm springing this on you, but I wanted to ask about your moms because, I don't know, when I... Look, you were this, like, dude who took care of Griper and me and Barton and Todd Kivico. Again, you were this sort of patriarchal fucking figure for us. In our early to mid 20s.
Patriarchal fucking figure.
Look, if Dave Clemens was in your fucking side pocket, like you were going to do okay. You're going to have it. I mean, it just, look.
You were doomed.
And
it was either you were doing really well or
but
you know.
I had always heard.
Or you're gone from there.
I'd met your mom a couple times.
You were lucky.
I'd met your mom once or twice. But I had heard that she was like a sort of a fierce figure
eccentric.
In the sense of a personality and a human being, and that maybe that's where you and your brother got your... I don't know, man. I just feel like, look, there's a legacy here
in
this neighborhood.
I love my dad, but I would say that I got most of my personality from my mom.
Yeah.
The odd kind of quirkiness that likes things a little bit different, I got from my mom. My dad, I love dearly. He tried to be straight, sort of unsuccessfully, because he had us. He really fucking tried. But one great story of my dad, I have a stepbrother, Miles, who's like the Tulane Newman football jock, 6'4", gorgeous, hunk, you know, and Then my dad also had, well, it was his stepson, but he would meet like these business executives. And he met him with Miles one time. This is my son, Miles. You know?
Right.
And they're like, wow, you're
strapping
really
young
fucking,
man.
You're doing good. And then like a month later, he shows up with me, you know.
I got a little runt and a rascal.
You know, and they're like, hey,
Dave Clemens is miming a runt and a rascal right now.
Dave's like bent over.
This is my son,
kind of like
Dave,
Quasimodo.
And
right
I could
now.
Just see the guy going, what the fuck happened? You know, he looked so healthy. A month ago, he was 6'2", 220. Now he's 5'10 and 110 and, you know, sunken eyes, you know. And my dad was just like trying, like,
It's so fucking funny.
But my mother was always crazy.
But your mom was like, as far as I kind of understood, was like,
because she liked Riper.
She made connections in the neighborhood, right? Like she like.
Except for the next door neighbors.
Part of the fabric. Okay.
They were always banned from when we were kids. It was like you can't go to the Clemens house. You know? So of course they all wanted to come to the Clemens house. You know?
So to put things into context, Dave grew up about three blocks down, one block over from Snakes. Basically.
Half a block from Lusher School. That's what I like to say.
There you go.
Just a shame, Lusher. No.
Yeah.
I got this new scheme now. Like, don't mean to interrupt you, but they do this thing where every day they have a lady that announces like when the kid needs to come out and get his ride, and it's like Billy Smith, come out. So I want to do, have you ever seen Pootie Tang?
No, man.
Yes, that was a Louis C.K. movie. Yeah,
you know,
he wrote it.
You know, Wadi Ta?
I think Chappelle was in
right.
it.
Right, yeah. Wadi Ta. So I want to do Ta, Wadi Ta. Because they call out the kid to like, come down, you know, Billy Smith, your mom is here to pick you up. I want to go, Ta, Wadi Ta. Tang, Pootie Tang. So I want to hook up my own PA and like do like 5 minutes and then shut it down. So that's my mom's sense of it. When you talk about
that's
my mom,
awesome,
that's
man.
Like, you know.
So I have a question for you. Right. So we were talking about this on the first part of the episode. But with the desegregation that you and your brother were into, that evidently, from what I understand, from stories I remember you relaying to me, y'all got in a bit of trouble for it. And where did you get that from? Did you get that from your parents
or
from your mother?
Well, I gotta say, I just recently, my next door neighbor, Lloyd Rosen, passed away. Wonderful man. He was an architect. Lived next door to us when we were like learning how to play Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever learn how to play Gloria?
Gloria. Gloria. Yeah,
you passed the audition.
Bam.
Man. We were. He lived next door to us, and he would put up with us when we first learned how to rock.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to listen to Gloria because every kid that thought he was a lead singer. Learned all they knew could sing was Gloria. So Lloyd would come over like, could you stop fucking playing Gloria, you know? But he recently passed away, and I went to his house and was speaking to his family and all that. And his son, I had told one of these stories about I got expelled from the entire public school system of Louisiana.
And that's because of
your desegregation. For being in a black student demonstration at Forche High School. So Eric Rosen, Lloyd's son, looked it up. I don't think he actually believed me, but he looked up online and found out that I'm one of only three people who have ever been permanently expelled from the entire public school system of Louisiana.
Permanently? From which age?
Well, it was 1967 or something. I was a junior in high school, and they had a black
student. Did you try to get like a GED or go to the?
I eventually did.
In Louisiana, that is not a dubious distinction.
No, that doesn't.
That's a fucking badge of honor right there that you,
that's like
you should wear
you can
with pride.
Drink for free at Snake and Jake.
Dude, congratulations.
Didn't they made you go to a predominantly black high school, right?
No. We voluntarily, I flunked gym in ninth grade.
on purpose? On purpose?
No, I wasn't dressing out or something.
Those little shorts there.
I didn't like the little short. So I flunked gym at McMain, so I had to go to summer school. So me and my brother.
For gym.
I had to go to summer school
typing
for gym.
So you're like doing
typing. And
so you
gym.
Had. Did. So you had to do like jumping jacks.
No, what happened was me and my brother and George Miller, who was kind of a long-haired badass, we decided that we were going to go to fucking Booker T. Washington summer school in 1968. So we fucking show up at Booker T, and I'm taking gym. So I show up there with my little Forche shirt on, and these motherfuckers are looking at me. What the fuck are you doing here, man? And I'm like, yeah, I'm here, man. You know? I'm fucking playing basketball, motherfucker. So they looking at me, and we're in the gym, and they're like, what, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. So one of them throws me the ball, like, let's see what you can fucking do. You know? So I dribbled out the half court, and I threw up a hook shot
from
half court, and it was guided by God. And I don't believe in God.
Dude.
This motherfucker. Dude.
Boom.
Swish. The whole gym shut down. Lil Pete. Then it was Lil Pete. You're on my fucking team. Lil Pete Maravich.
You were Lil Pete.
Oh, I was Lil Pete.
Lil Pete.
Never took another shot.
Never took another shot. Didn't matter. You were Lil Pete after that.
I was Lil fucking Pete. So I barely passed gym. And then like a year or two later, I was back at, went to Forche, and they had this black student demonstration because they wanted a student union. They wanted a black student union. You know, they had just the integration had recently caught up. Me and my brother had skipped school the day before. We show up and there's 300, there's 300 black students outside, and they're like, look, they kind of knew me and my brother because we were kind of cool. We wore black armbands when Martin Luther King died, and you know, so they kind of knew we were all right. But they said, you motherfuckers better get inside because some shit's getting ready to fucking go down. And we're like, all right. So we went inside, and the vice principal of Forche, Mr. Volcano.
Get out of here, for real.
That was his name?
Pat Volcano.
Pat Volcano.
He sees me and Cranston, and he was so desperate to have somebody he could tell what to do. He said, y'all go home and get your fucking hair cut. we're like, you got a fucking riot going on. This is the best you can do. Anyway, it's a long we were somewhat involved in this the New Orleans version of civil rights. Have to tune into the next iPod.
How did that translate into, if it did at all, maybe it didn't, into your experience in the neighborhood you grew up in?
Because when we grew up, my mother was not a racist. Most of the people here were. Our next door neighbors threatened to call the police on us. When we moved into the house in 1957, Mr. Freeman, and I'll use his fucking name, because we were playing with our neighbor across the street, Charles Jones, who still lives across the street, wonderful person. And we were playing King of the Hill, five-year-old, six-year-old kids, and he was beating our ass. And Mr. Freeman came, Miss Clements, if you don't get that little fucking nigger out of your fucking yard, we're calling the police. Or something to that effect. And my mother, to her eternal shame, because she just moved into the neighborhood, and she went out and said, Charles, I'm sorry, but you got to go home. And she went to her grave. Her big regret was that she fucking kissed this asshole's ass and right. went and told Charles, you can't, I'm sorry, because she thought that we would get run out of the neighborhood. You know, she didn't know.
Fair enough.
So anyway, she wasn't a racist. We grew up, we were the weirdos in the neighborhood, which is probably explains why I put up with people like Griper.
Thank God, man. Thank God.
I mean, it ties right. in.
No, it totally ties in completely.
It does.
No, it completely ties in. Because you took a bunch of wanderers,
misfits,
you know, dreamers, and yes. you gave us a home
ne'er
and you gave us
wells.
A job.
Yes.
You know, and
ne'er do wells except for like most of the time we're trying to do good.
The people I like are the ones that have a heart.
Oh man. Yeah.
And I know, I can tell, and I'm wrong sometimes, I get screwed, but I'll give somebody like 5-10 chances.
Andre Marchand, he's talking to you.
It's true, and my thing I say is like I would rather get fucked 10 times than go through life trying to make sure I never get fucked.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
You know?
No, absolutely.
I'm not going to go through life guarding against getting screwed.
Well, you know, that's something super...
It makes life much easier.
It's your spirit versus, say, definitely Tony's. Tony was much more defensive about this bar, you know? But
Tony
you
had a different mindset than I did.
But this bar back in the 90s...
But we needed a little of both.
Well, we definitely needed that balance. Don't get me wrong. That balance is not a bad thing. But back in the 90s, this bar was a melting pot. And
it
I
still
mean,
is, but it's more touristy is. Now. I mean, it's gotten, we have a name, we're known. You know,
and
we're
the
not.
Neighborhood,
in,
and the neighborhood's changed dramatically.
The neighborhood has changed.
Dramatically.
But we still have people that kind of remember the good old days and they remember the crazies. But anyway, Tony.
You know, regardless of Tony and whatnot, but the balance was there and it's a good balance. But this bar, at any given point in the 90s, like late 90s, early 2000s, you could walk in this bar and you would have members from the SWAT team. I kid you not. You would have your resident cat that was maybe selling 40s out of his pocket. You would have
Mike
service
Ward.
Industry. Oh, Michael Ward. God bless his
who
soul.
Who had his own right. personal police officer.
Oh, yeah. Officer Blank.
Yeah, Officer Blank.
Would roll up in his squad car. Park it in front of the bar, roll in with his full suited up, he was on duty, and he would get some, and then he would sit in his car and do some until his lights went on and he went screaming off to go stop a crime somewhere.
Hey, he just pulled up.
No. Oh, man, when that police chief came in, though, he fired all those cats, but yeah.
I think we need another round of drinks, actually.
I think so,
you
too.
Know what we're going to do?
What we're going to do?
Fishwater, man.
We'll do a fishwater.
All right,
everybody.
We do a fishwater.
I think we're probably going to wrap it up.
Look,
wrap it up. Right? Yeah.
And if I may, real quick, Dave, would you mind? I'm so sorry to interrupt
no,
this.
No, no, go
man,
ahead.
Just being the sound guy. But would you tell the story about your middle name, please?
Ah!
Yeah, it's
kablam!
Well, I got a sister named Delaney, a brother named Cranston, then they named me Dave. Like
lame.
How about Boudre?
Right.
You met Boudre last night down at Circle Bar. Boudre McDowell.
A character.
92-year-old World War II vet.
Uh-huh. Old Cajun motherfucker.
So I was like, you could have named me Boudre, but no. But so they threw me with a little bit of a hook for the middle name, Stockton. And at one point I'm like, Mom. Hey, Mom, how come my middle name's Stockton? And they're like, well, your great-grandfather, Steve, was killed by a bear. in Stockton, California. We thought we should name you after the town.
So they didn't name you about the great grandfather.
No.
They named you about
the
town.
Or
the bear.
Right, what was the bear's name? Yeah,
you could have been Dave Kodiak. You could have been Dave Kodiak.
Babs. Babs the bear.
Oh, my Lord. That's so funny.
Dave Babs Clemens.
Dave Babs Clemens. Oh, yeah. What's your middle name?
John.
Oh,
how about,
man,
I know.
That's
That's bullshit. Like,
what's your, I don't even know your first name.
No, that's okay. We'll keep it
Griper,
that way.
No.
We'll keep it. My middle name is Pine, which is my mother's maiden name.
Pine's a great middle name.
P-Y-N-E. It's my mother's maiden
name.
That is a good one.
Holy
well, sure.
Shit,
sucks.
Lee.
Your name sucks?
How about middle name, Lee? No, it is. Joel.
Joel
name sucks.
Jackson.
Joel sucked Jack.
Oh my God,
dude, that is like that is the most like fucking like Southern
General Lee,
Southern
bullshit.
Fried General Lee.
Oh,
name,
let's,
right,
let's
exactly.
not talk about General
Joel
Lee.
Joel Lee Jackson.
My
Joel
oh,
that'll
Lee.
Be the next.
No,
podcast.
My middle brother would go Joel Lee, faggot. Like he would like.
Oh man.
Julie, faggot. That's how he would jump the shark. To, like,
oh, Lord.
Me, like, my middle name.
Did you
me
fucking punch
my mom like, would say
nah.
Jeffrey
Did you
John.
Knock him out?
No, he was older than me and bigger, and he would put me in a straitjacket.
Bigger?
He was a magician.
Because you're a big motherfucker.
No, nah, but I was, like, 4 or 5 years younger than my two older brothers. So I went through a whole hell of a fucking... My older sister took up from me, but... Look, whatever.
That's
I spent
bad
a lot of time. I spent a lot of time running away from the house in a straitjacket. Like
Lord.
In a magician straitjacket. Like
things
jumping
are
over.
Getting interesting
jumping
now.
Over.
Kind of explains a lot.
Let's,
oh, yeah. It does.
That explains a lot.
It does. Right
wow. Okay. It totally does.
Oh, boy.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
All right? Think about that.
Oh, boy. Why?
Meeting of the mind going on over here. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
This is.
I thought you were supposed to be the sound guy. Now this... you're like the
he's arbiter. Doctor, he's Dr. Like, Bill.
He's
Dr.
He's our he's co-host.
He's right. The anchor.
As we all know, sound guys really run everything.
Yeah, they do. Sure. Right.
And, you know, and this summit of the minds right here, this meeting of the minds, I mean, it's way past what Donald Trump's
we
done.
We met.
So. We're good.
Look, man, look, can we all just say this?
Good night.
Good night.
I'm not going to be the final person to say anything.
Good
I'm
night,
just going to say, Dave Clemens, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks to your, thanks to your, thanks to your,
yeah.
Thanks
we're
to your.
We're
going to
do this
parents.
Again.
Yeah, we're definitely doing it again.
Thanks to your bar.
Hopefully with other people.
No. Thanks to your patronage, your generosity. Seriously, Dave, man, you made people's lives better.
Yeah.
Two of us right here.
We talk about it. We talk about it all the time. Bart
talks
about
it all
the time.
I am fucking so
seriously,
happy
man.
That I had anything to do with something that this has created. This
you are responsible for this podcast.
Mindset of stupidity.
Man, without you, a lot of things would have been undone. And
no, seriously.
You,
like,
know,
God,
you know, the best thing
life,
about
man.
This is that he and
story.
I... Jeff and I have actually toyed with opening a business together.
Yeah, that's
so.
Right. That's right.
Boy.
We went down that road.
Wait till that happens.
Yeah. Exactly.
It could still
it's on,
happen.
It's on the horizon
it's on
somewhere.
The horizon.
Right.
People, look, stay tuned, everybody. Our faithful listeners, so it's goodlifebabe.com. Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans.
Hey, guess what? Before
thanks so much.
You shut down. I love my gal, Kathleen.
Oh,
sweetheart.
Yes.
Up in the frozen tundra.
Shout out to Kathleen.
Upstate.
I love
upstate.
Her.
Shout out to Kathleen.
She's my sweetie. I wish she was here.
Shout out to Snake and Jake. Shout out to all the bartenders who have come
you
and gone.
You because she can make a damn good old...
Place.
No.
She can make a damn
good old... you, honey.
All right, folks. We're going to catch up with you next time. It's the closing of episode 2. Thanks,
y'all know
Dave,
who you
for
are.
Having us.
That was 19.
Bart
and
Kiviko, you know
episode
who you
two.
Are.
Yeah, no, I mean 19. Part 2, episode 19. Oh, we got a shout-out from one of the loyal customers here.
I'd like to send a shout-out to Heat and Woody. You guys are good boys.
And there you go.
The doggies. That's the greyhound.
Oh,
that's
a greyhound.
Heath and Woody.
Oh, the tequila-stealing greyhound.
They're sleeping on the tequila-stealing. Oh, that's a band
they're
name.
Out.
The black greyhound is crazy about
that's
booze.
That's a great band name.
All right, on that note.
On that note.
We're going to get out of here.
Russell Obey.
You know what? Oh, Russell Obey.
Shout out to Obey.
Saw him today.
Nice. Good.
Russell Obey.
Here's a Russell.
Catch you next time,
all
folks.
The kindred spirits of Snake and Jake's. You know who you are. Thanks for fucking being here.
Yeah. Dave Clements, man.
God
Dave
damn Clements.
Good night, you guys.
All right.
Catch you next time, folks.